think it's been obvious that we're taking a bit of a break from Psalm 119. Don't know how long that break will be, but we will see how it goes over the next weeks. Turn with me to John chapter 7. The purpose of our messages today, this morning in Sunday school and in our main worship service, will be to focus our minds and our hearts on certain aspects of Christ. Christmas is coming. One way or another, we do think of the birth of Christ. And so I think it's proper that even a couple of weeks ahead of Christmas, we focus on Christ. John 7, verse 37. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, What did Christ say? If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. You have this broad, general invitation. Any man, any person. But then you have the word thirsty. Some need, some pressing need, some motivating need. What is that person supposed to do? Come to Christ. Christ said, come to me. We are a needy people. From birth to death. How many needs do we have? Staggers the imagination. There's needs in the womb. Prenatal care. Oxygen. Sustenance. Then comes the birth. Suddenly parents awaken to the fact that the needs that a baby has. We have numerous things to take care of with a newborn. Formula. Warmth. Protection, they increase. Child grows, so do the needs. They grow and they need new clothes and they need new shoes and they need direction and protection and on and on and on. How frequently do they need new shoes? They're growing. The needs are growing. Training. How to use a fork, spoon. How to hold a glass. Discipline. Education. Medical care. Dear ones, we are a needy people. There's a danger, particularly about what we've been talking about. And the danger is this. This multitude of needs can and does often obscure the greatest need. The need that this is a soul, a never-dying soul, has been entrusted to you. It's a need that only God can meet. Now, in order to better understand the true nature of this spiritual need, as opposed to physical, material needs, we must understand the true condition of man. And you're only going to find it in the Bible. What is man's real, true condition? Well, let me just get to the point. He's depraved. Depraved. I didn't say deprived because I didn't mean to say deprived. I meant to say depraved. And there's a real problem here in our world and even in the religious world that takes the position that man is deprived. There's just a few things that he's have been deprived of. And so we fix it with education. We fix it with money. We fix it with Band-Aids. Do we? Great deal of difference between those two words. More than most people ever realize. So if you take the viewpoint that men are deprived rather than depraved, it's not too serious. It's inconvenient, and we need to help one another and to replenish and to provide these things that have been somehow taken away or not provided. Everything's going to be okay. It's superficial, like someone who might say, well, just, hey man, take a couple of aspirins and join the church. Everything will be okay. No, everything won't be okay. And isn't okay. Men fell when Adam sinned. All men fell. Why? Because Adam was the representative of the entire world of humanity. That's why. A lot of people spend time and money tracing their ancestry. Kind of interesting. My granddad came from Switzerland. That's about all I know. I keep joking around that he's probably related to Calvin, and therefore I'm probably related to John Calvin somehow. Stretching things a bit. But you trace your lineage back. Keep going. Go back as far as you can. And if you could go far enough, you know where you would end up? Adam. That's where. And what did Adam do? He sinned. And he plunged every human being that will live or has ever lived in this world into the depths of depravity and sin. And when we're born with a sin nature, and we're born guilty of Adam's sin. We need to take that seriously. There's another way of saying it. Let me give you two words. Total inability. Total inability. And man, when confronted with that, whether it's from reading the Bible or hearing it preached, are inferred in conversation, they reject it. Not me. Maybe that guy in prison. Not me. Really? Oh, I may have a few hang-ups. I've made a few mistakes in life. Listen carefully. The truth is, man left to himself does not have the ability to deal with the guilt, the power, and the consequences of sin. That's it. Let me add to that. No matter what apparent peace, happiness, joy they might have, the truth of the matter is it's all a facade. And underneath is a miserable wreck. Always seeking something. Always seeking joy, peace, happiness here, there, somewhere else. New hobby, new interest, new car, new boat. Whatever. Maybe even seeking it in religion. I'll try church. Maybe that'll help. Maybe if I get a little bit religious. Our confession of faith describes them as servants of sin, subjects of death, and all other miseries, spiritual, temporal, and eternal, unless the Lord Jesus sets them free. Did you hear that? At the very beginning of the message, I said we were going to be taking a good look at Christ. Who he is. What he has done. What he can do. Quite a description. Subjects of death, other miseries, spiritual, temporal, eternal. And then the word unless. Unless. Here's the but. Factor. The Lord Jesus set them free. Dear ones, think of these three words for a moment. Servant of sin. Whatever else he may do in life, stay single, get married, have kids, don't have kids, get a job, go to work, a profession, whatever. It all amounts to one thing. He is a slave to sin. But that's not the end. He is subject to death. It's appointed unto man once to die. And after that, the judgment. Wages of sin is death. Living with the cloud of God's condemnation accumulating over his head. Storing up judgment against the day of wrath. In John we read, he that believeth not is condemned. Living under the sentence of condemnation. Every step he takes, every corner he turns, every bite of food he eats, living under the cloud of condemnation. Oh, by the way, that's eternal death. Question you've heard from the scriptures, what shall it profit a man? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul in the process? Probably you may remember me quoting Thomas Watson. Love the Puritans. They have a graphic way of saying things. Puts it on your heart and mind using indelible ink. Thomas Watson said, some men love the world so much they'll never be satisfied until they're 6 feet underground and have a shovel full of it in their mouth. Know anybody like that? At work? your neighborhood. It all adds up to this, that the unrepentant sinner, the servant of sin, the subject of death, he is subject to all other miseries, spiritual, temporal, and eternal. Let me just put it differently and simple. All of Satan's apples have worms. All of them. Well, that's the great need. And I have great spelled in all capital letters. Where death finds you, death will leave you. Listen well. Where death finds you, death will leave you. And where death leaves you, judgment will find you. Listen carefully. And where judgment finds you, it will leave you for all of eternity. Sobering. Christ said, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me. What a statement. What an invitation. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Do you know when Christ said this? Christ said this on the last day of the feast. Each day of the feast was part of a religious celebration. At the time of the morning sacrifice, one of the priests would bring into the temple a golden vessel full of water drawn from the fountain of Shiloh, which sprang up at the bottom of the mountain on which the temple was built. And the priest would mingle the water with wine and then pour the mixture on the altar as a libation. And this was accompanied with solemn instrumental and vocal music, singing as an anthem the word of the prophet Isaiah, with joy shall you know, draw water out of the wells of salvation. And it was on this occasion that Christ uttered these words, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me. Christ seized the appropriate moment to declare this gracious invitation. The stage was set. Thirst. If any man is thirsty, the word thirst is used figuratively to mean, to signify a state of deep desire, deep destitution. When a man is thirsty, he's aware of it. when he's really thirsty, he will do most anything to quench his thirst. And here the word goes beyond just physical. It enters into the realm of the spiritual, a thirst of the soul. And so Christ is saying, not do you want a sip of water, but are you thirsty inwardly? The unregenerate sinner has never found that which will quench that kind of thirst. Unless, of course, he comes to Christ and accepts the invitation. In Isaiah, of course, the question is asked, why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your wages for that which does not satisfy? That's a pretty clear picture. Seeking to satisfy thirst with crackers. Doesn't work. Christ gives an invitation. Come. Come to me. Our Lord is the all-accomplished Savior. He has all the merit, power, authority, knowledge, wisdom, kindness, sympathy that are requisite for supplying in the best manner, the most abundant measure, all of our need, and for making all grace to abound toward us. Let me state it differently. Christ is perfectly suited to meet man's deepest need. That's it. Again, I emphasize that my purpose for this lesson this morning and the message that follows is to point you to Christ. Point you to Christ. Turn with me to Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. Get these words in your heart. For he who comes to God, two little words, must believe. Must believe. Believe what? That he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. It is by believing the truth about Christ that one is enabled to savingly come to him. Christ on one occasion said, no man can come to me except the Father which sent me. Draw him. Christ didn't mean you couldn't walk up to him and touch him. Anybody can do that. It's not that kind of coming near and reaching out and touching him. Any man can do that. It's got two legs and can walk. There's a saving Lee coming to Christ. And Christ said, no man, no man can come to me except the Father which sent me. Draw him. Well, that's, of course, the effectual call as we know it. Believe. Believe what? Oh, it's believe certain truths about Christ. Let me just give you a few of those truths that one must believe concerning Christ. First of all, we must believe that he is the eternal Son of God. Very important. Let me give you some more. We must believe that he was virgin born. We must believe that the Word became flesh. We're going to be talking about that. During these days. That's what Christmas is about, isn't it? He became flesh. The incarnation and virgin birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We must believe that he was born and lived without sin. We must believe that he was the perfect substitute and representative of all those whom he came to save. We must believe that he is the Messiah. 1 John 5:1, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, that is, the Messiah, is born of God. You must believe that he is God's prophet, priest, and king. We must believe that Christ bodily rose from the dead and is presently at the right hand of the Father. In summary, we must believe all that the Bible has said about Christ. Well, two things that we need to note. One, enlightening their minds spiritually and savingly to understand the things of God. That's in our confession of faith, and it has reference to this effectual call. There is a general call that goes along with the preaching of the gospel, wherever, whenever, because of it's inherent in the act of preaching. There is that what we call implied a general call going out to all who are there. But it's only effectual to the elect. And by effectual, I mean there is no question, no doubt, but that that person will savingly come to Christ. It's the effectual call. What did Christ say? What do you think Christ meant when he said, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me. Well, we can't end there because that's not the end. Christ said, let him come to me and drink. And drink. Partake. Receive it. Become partaker of what Christ has to offer. Coming to Jesus, the great prophet, he will obtain relief from the uncertainties of doubt, and in the full assurance of faith, the rest which he seeks. Coming to Jesus as the great high priest, he will obtain relief from the agonies of remorse and enjoy the peace of a conscience sprinkled with the blood of an all-perfect sacrifice. Coming to Jesus as King, he will obtain deliverance from the tyranny of spiritual foes and protection and guidance and final salvation. It's drinking. What good is this glass of water, however thirsty I may be, if I don't drink it? It's of no value. Dear ones, Christ is perfectly suited to meet man's most desperate need. And that's why there's much joy and blessing and satisfaction in working with the men in prison. Desperately needy, never dying souls, coming to a saving knowledge of Christ. Lives changed, transformed forever. For all of eternity. And that brings me to another point. Once you become a true believer, once you know Christ, as we've been talking about this morning, do you know what the next step is? You have a responsibility of meeting the needs of others. There are no limits to Christ, who is infinite and therefore has infinite resources. Christ is nevertheless, let me separate that for you so you get the right wording, is never, N-E-V-R, the less, not nevertheless, but never the less for all that he gives. Never. Christ said, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. This means that the believer is to become a source of blessing to others. There is a sense in which we become a secondary fountain. That what we receive, we communicate to others. Freely, freely we have received, freely we must give. This means that in the most demanding circumstances of your life, we should be able to give out of unlimited supplies of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Why? Because Christ is working those things in us, and we have them available in unlimited supplies so that we can overflow and and help meet the needs of others. And when a husband or a wife seems to be most difficult to get along with, when the children are trying your patience to the last degree, when everything seems to be going wrong, even when you have a splitting headache on top of that, hear me. There should be abundant supplies of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. By the way, those are the fruits of the Spirit. Christ said, if anybody's thirsty, let him come to me. And it's implied there, I believe, with the original, let him keep coming. Keep coming. Which is true. Our initial savingly coming to Christ will be characterized in our life every day. We come to Christ, come to Christ, come to Christ. Well, I want to close with, turn with me to Matthew 19, 21. Matthew 19, 21. Verse 16. The rich young ruler, teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life? He came to Christ. Christ, in verse 21, said to him, if you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Verse 22, and when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieved, for he was one who owned much property. Do you know what this is? This is a picture of one who came, but he didn't drink. He didn't drink. Christ said, come, implying drink. Partake of what I offer. Well, Christ said that. Let's pray. Our gracious God, we ask that you would be pleased to use your word to our spiritual good today. We thank you, Lord, for those who have reason to believe that you have effectually called them. And Lord, may we realize that coming to Christ is a continual coming every day, every situation. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.